They don't want to live in a world without THACO. GRD Weekly.
GRD Weekly, episode number 20, coming at you this July 26, 2008, flying at you all kinds of crazy because we're a little different today.
Are we a little different today?
We're a little different today because...
How's that?
The vicar apparently has become a little girl.
Is he a little girl?
Aww.
Vicar, are you wearing panties?
Yes.
See, there it is. I told you, it's a day of just opening ups and... Okay. The vicar is still on vacation. Those of you listening to The Daily Show know that the vicar was supposed to be back yesterday, actually Thursday night, to be prepared at work for Friday, but he's detail guy.
Yes.
And probably the least said about that, the better.
Mm-hmm.
So today, it is three people. It's not the normal three people. And look, oh my God, we're back at the WRER studios high above historic downtown Tampa. Woo! Having ourselves a good old time. Sitting to my left, to your right, filling in for the vicar, doing a much better job, I think, would be the Flintstress.
At what point did my life go Looney Tunes?
When you agreed to be on the show.
I do. I think
that
I know the date exactly. It was like, what, 5-6 years ago? The day you married him?
July 5th, 2002.
Aw, mm-hmm. That's so sweet.
Which and is actually 1 year to the day of my anniversary.
Wow.
Wow.
Huh. It's 1 year, exactly 1 year before mine.
So those of you that listen to the shows a lot, go back a few episodes and put that together on your own. I'm not going to tell you anything else. Sitting to my right, your left, as you're listening in your automobile stereo, that would be the Bruce.
This guy's not going to rip my heart out of my chest and show it to me, is he?
I certainly hope not.
I hope not. It's bloody. It's messy. You know.
You just bring it, pal. You want to be all kinds of crazy? You bring it, because I don't care, because I'm Billy Flynn.
And if I'm wrong, you best shoot me now. Or we could talk more.
Whichever works
Or we could
for
talk
you,
more.
I'm just saying.
Talking's good.
Oh, so fantastic. So welcome to Saturday, another episode of GRD Weekly, episode number 20. And I don't know exactly what to call this episode. It's a little bit all over the place because we had planned different things. Because the vicar was going to be here. Not that I don't love having you here.
Well, thank
you. I love having you here.
Especially
in that there is proof that God loves us and wants us to be happy shirt.
The girls are here.
You brought your daughters? That's just incredibly strange. Why would you do that? That's incredibly weird. So our main topic really is there's this film called The Chosen One. If you're actually listening to us at Comic-Con right now, you're like, wait a minute, I saw that booth!
Yes!
Because they did show it at Comic-Con.
They screened it.
They screened it, mm-hmm. Friday evening is where that happened. And they've got a booth there all weekend long.
And luckily enough, we've actually had a chance to get a copy of this film. And before you do, and we're going to... talk about it. We're going to review this film. Now, mind you, we're going to do this spoiler-free.
Ooh.
We're not going to tell you what happens, any of the twists, any of the turns, anything like that.
Because the movie itself comes out August 26th on DVD.
Yeah.
So
and we want you to see
you
the
got
film.
A little bit of time. I do want you to see the film. We do want you to see the film. And if we got some time, maybe we'll talk some spoilerific Dark Knight stuff very quickly, as well as finding out about trivia.
Yes.
Who wins that? We give that away today. A lot of entries there. People really, really like that. Of course, we'll have your Fit Club. We're going to have... GRD News will be checking mail, but first off, the Flintstress, what have you been doing geekified this week?
Well, I've actually had a pretty geeky week, I guess you could say. We watched a little bit on, I guess it was BBC America, a show from the 90s called Spaced, starring Simon Pegg, who is just so cute and funny and awesome, and I don't remember the actress's name, but she was really funny too. Now, we only watched like 2 episodes because it really felt choppy, like they were cutting it. You know, British TV is not intended for American TV.
It was on BBC America. I thought we were safe.
Yeah.
We weren't. They started
to they cut it to the 30-minute episode.
It just felt weird, and so it just came out on DVD, so I think we'll just have to either buy the DVDs or rent the DVDs.
We could try to do our best to win a copy of the Season 2 DVD set from Dave and the guys over at Screen Geeks.
Really?
Because they've got a Region 2, which has a bunch of the stuff that we don't get on the Region 1 edition here. Blah. Yeah, you jerks.
Yeah,
so, you know,
but it was a really funny show, really geeky. You know, he's a comic book artist, I guess.
Yes, he is.
And he works at a comic book shop. So it just definitely had a lot of geeky potential. So only had a taste of that one, but I'm looking forward to
Space. You ever seen Space there, Mr.
No, I haven't seen Space.
Okay.
I want to see the whole series.
Because, you know, and you've probably heard this before, but basically Simon Pegg, and I do forget the actress's name, and I feel silly because I was not prepared for that. They have to pretend to be a couple.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to get an apartment, which sounds like the most horrifying,
yeah, it's
silly,
Three's Company, yeah, silly stuff, yeah.
Except, you know, it's from a geeky point of view, if you will.
Mm.
He's a little more crazier than she is. She's a writer who hardly ever works, and he's a slacker comic book guy who's working all the time but never really getting anything done.
Okay.
So you put those two together, they're on a collision course for wackiness. Of course, they're friends. Mike is Simon Pegg's friend, and he's just a crazy...
He's the guy that's always in the movies with Simon Pegg.
Yeah, I know he's
he's really funny.
He's basically Walter from The Big Lebowski, except if he was in England.
Okay.
He's like a gun-toting sort of military guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
all right.
Fun. And her friend is Twist, who's in the fashion business, which is really funny.
No.
She's in the fashion business. You have to see that. She's in the fashion industry.
Should I ask what type of fashion?
She's in the fashion industry.
Not your kind of fashion,
no,
Bruce.
But it's a good time. It's out on DVD now. And if you see it uncut, it's probably going to be better because it is a little jarring cut.
Yeah. So I recommend looking at the DVDs. And if my computer wasn't so slow, I would have already IMDb'd and figured out her name and everything.
Oh, really?
Jessica Hines.
It is Jessica Hines.
Is Stacy. And his friend, who's in everything else, is Nick Frost.
Yes.
There we go. Thank you, IMDb.
You're welcome.
Okay, what else did I do geeky?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I did something geeky without Billy Flynn.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
what?
My God.
How does that work?
When he was working, I took our kids to see WALL-E. And I don't know that it, I mean, it's geeky in that it's, you know, kind of futuristic in technology. And there's certain things about it that are very geeky. But it's also kind of a Disney kids movie blockbuster sort of thing. I mean, there was an inflatable WALL-E at Disney World when they were promoting the movie. So
WALL-E
it's
counts as being geeky. It really does.
All right. And
that
it was
like
really
out of science fiction. You live in a spaceship, dear.
Yeah, there were spaceships involved, so I guess, you know, sci-fi. And I really enjoyed it. I had, like, steeled myself against it because it's, like, so cute, and it was, like, geared to pull at your heartstrings. But it's just, like, you couldn't help but fall in love with WALL-E.
Wow.
And that was actually pretty good. And it was a very, like, if you look at it from a totally different angle, it was very much a social commentary. You know, like, it's been out for a long time, so I'm not worried about spoilers.
I have heard it's the kids' version of Blade Runner.
You know, we
really now
that's what I've heard.
We destroy our planet. We move on to something else and everything's automated. We don't even walk anymore. Yeah. I mean, it's just it was really good. And like I said, you could look at it from a variety of different levels. It's a love story, too. So, anyway, I really enjoyed WALL-E. We've also been watching our share of.
Sorry.
That's not a romance
song. No, it's not. But it's
tearful.
It's
touchable. That's hot.
And I was proud of myself, though. In the whole movie, I only teared up a little bit right at the end.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I made it the whole movie, and I'm usually a sap. Moving on. Riff Tracks. We've been watching a lot of Riff Tracks because the kids really like them. You know, MST I like, but the movies are so obscure and random and black and white, and
They're not all in black and white.
I know.
There was only the one Gamera that was in black and white. The rest of them are all in color.
But I love Riff Tracks.
Manos, the hands of Manos.
Well, I remember from the MST3 movie.
Yes.
So the Riff Tracks are nice because there are modern movies that really suck.
Such as?
Well, we looked at Batman and Robin.
That I had never, ever seen Batman and Robin before.
Oh,
I said I said long ago that the only way I would ever see it is if they MST'd it. And that's the closest they're ever going to get is watching the Riff Tracks.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was, it was as bad as I remember.
I'm
going to
say
it,
this here and now. And ladies, those of you that are like staring at your poster, I don't care, but it's true. George Clooney really can't act.
He can't be Batman.
Not in that movie.
He can play George Clooney.
Yeah.
George Clooney doesn't belong in Batman.
No,
George Clooney belongs in Ocean's 11.
Oh, brother, where out that?
Right.
Okay. Well, he's a Dapper Dan man there. A Dapper Dan man should have showed up in Batman and Robin. Something should have showed up in Batman and Robin. Because
he didn't even do a different voice when he was Bruce Wayne versus Batman.
No.
It was the same voice.
That's just me.
That really makes the complaints I've heard because, you know, Christian Bale
and the whole Dark Knight does have the overdone rasp.
He does at times. But at least it's a different damn voice.
Right.
I mean,
he needs a lozenge in that movie.
I really want to know for Batman and Robin. I really want to know, were they intentionally doing the Adam West show? Because if they were, it would be brilliant on that level.
But as
the fourth Batman film?
Yeah.
No.
Well, after Joel Schumacher took over the directing, it completely went from the
They're at the beginning?
The very dark Tim Burton.
Mm-hmm.
His dark vision into it, the whole 50s, 60s comic book version.
Well, even worse than that was like at the beginning. Now, look, if you are a man or a woman, and it doesn't matter in this day and age, if you really like to look at George Clooney and whatever that outfit was and Chris O'Donnell, that thing at the beginning where they're strapping on the outfits, when they
zoomed in on the crotch?
The crotch shots when the cod piece is in place and it's like,
hello there.
That's when you know.
Batman's crotch right here.
That's when you know exactly what kind of movie you're in for.
I blocked that scene out of my memory, but
I knew about the nipples going in. I knew the nipples and all the costume, except for Batgirl. What's up with that? Batgirl has no nipples. She had a nipplectomy. Yeah. What the hell is that?
Sort of, but...
Yeah. And just, I don't know what I'm showing.
I don't know. I'm sorry. I just got out. It was weird there. It was just, look at this, look at this.
Breathe. And look at that! Yeah, baby!
You thrust your pelvis!
You thrust your pelvis!
And I think that the guys, the Riff Track guys, would only do it if the fans wrote the script. So all of the jokes and all of the different stuff came from fans. So that was pretty fun.
And I'm sure they had a plethora of extra jokes too.
Yeah. We also watched the Riff Tracks of Transformers.
Yeah.
Which I had not watched since it had come out in the movie theater. And I think we're supposed to get so distracted by the CGI and all the cool transforming that happens that we're not supposed to notice things like them use a computer to make Morse code and just some of the just totally stupid ways that they end up figuring this out and making this work.
I remember giving Transformers 8.5 pants, and I will stand by that to this day because I knew going in that it would be cool robots fighting.
Yes.
And a bunch of stupid things happening because I saw the cartoon.
It's a
good representation of the cartoon as well as the summer blockbuster.
I mean, Optimus Prime stepping on the flower and going, oops, my bad.
That I could live without. And I could, John Turturro, the whole John Turturro character, I could have lived without. But other than that, well, maybe Schumacher stepped in and decided to.
Oh, no.
You thrust your pelvis! You thrust your pelvis!
If I'd known we were going to use that, I would have got that quote.
Thank you, Duckman.
Okay. Away from Riff Tracks a little bit. My parents came in to visit, and they always want to take me and the kids. We have our stepkids for the summer, and they always want us to do something.
Let's go do something as a family.
Let's go do something historic. And we live near Richmond, you know, and so they've got all kinds of historical stuff. And I wanted something. Yeah. I wanted something that was not all that much walking because, you know, no need for that. But, no, I mean, we did walk a little bit. Anyway, we went down to the canal and I didn't even know that Richmond had a canal system. But it's not the original because it had some flooding, but it's a reconstruction of the original canal system. And I didn't even know that George Washington envisioned a canal network like an interstate highway system that would have transported goods and services all around the United States. And that was pretty cool. It was geeky in like a historical kind of nerdy geeky way, and I really enjoyed it. There were just some fun, you know, tidbits of history, and then you walk around some. There's a whole path that you can walk, and then you get in a boat, like just a little shallow boat, and you go around in the canals, and the lady's talking about all the different history.
The president of the United States happens to agree with you.
Well then.
That's true. Or our first president, if that. I liked it. It was kind of geeky, nerdy, sort of a historical kind of thing to do. And the last thing I'll mention, I haven't really done a whole lot with it yet, but one of our people on the forums at geekradiodaily.com.
Wow. Bell sounds weird. There we go. That sounds
it's been a while since we've been in the studio. I guess it's a little worn out.
Hey, I'm sleepy. Hey, you guys, homeschooling is so sweet.
Well, he has written a short story, 11-page short story. I guess that, I don't know if the 11 pages that we saw
that
is all of it or if there's
have,
just more of it.
Have.
Anyway, there's a short story, and he's doing an audio drama. And so I'm going to do one of the voices.
Woo!
Yay! Except he's like, can you sing? Can you do an Irish accent? I'm like, whoa, back it up here. I just said I would talk. So we'll see how that goes.
Yes, I can.
Yes,
absolutely. I can.
Absolutely, sure. I'll find a way to make it happen somehow.
I can tap dance too. Wow.
Exactly. Yay.
Sweet.
So I've started looking at that. I've read the story, and he's giving me a little bit of a script just kind of as a sample that I need to record and just kind of practice with it. But that could be really fun, doing a little voice acting for a geeky, very, very geeky story.
See? That's pretty cool, huh?
So we've done that before, but we can't prove it.
No, not. Oh, well, what are you going to do? What do you got there on your list there, the...
All right. First and foremost, went to Fallout last Saturday night for Storm.
Really, Storm?
Not that Storm.
Oh, Aurora Monroe?
No.
Oh.
I know. Sorry. We got there. Thought it was going to be just a normal, typical night.
Wait. At Fallout?
At Fallout.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a typical night.
Yeah, I know. But they had a small sprinkler set up in the back room. It was, you know, sprinkling light mist in the background. It's like, okay, this is not going to be a big deal. They said, oh, you're going to get wet when you come into Fallout today. Okay.
Then the streams of water start hitting you.
Actually.
okay.
No, not kidding. About 12:30, there was the emergency alert tone over the speaker system. Everybody starts running into the main area of the club.
Right.
All of a sudden, it starts to rain in the bar. everywhere. Everywhere that's not a seating area, the main walking areas, they had pipes set up, little sprinkler pipes set over the top.
Well, I guess you know where to go to stay out of the water.
On the dance floor, and that was about it. Because it literally rained inside the bar for 3 hours. I'm dead serious. This is the most amazing thing I have ever seen.
Anyone who misses this will regret it the rest of his life.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I have never been to a party like this before in my life, and that was amazing.
Okay.
We left about
It wasn't raining blood like in Blade, was
it? No, like Carrie or anything like that, no.
It didn't rain blood in
Carrie. Dumped blood.
Dumped blood. It's different. Right. They had a rave in Blade, and they had the sprinklers.
Right, it was a vampire.
That's right.
Bloodbath!
Woohoo!
Yeah.
No, but we left about 2:30 in the morning, soaking wet from head to toe. It was amazing.
Stupid man.
It was nice.
Okay, well, if you're happy.
Oh, my God. And next time there's ever do this, we're so going back. This is going to be great.
Bring some towels for in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was going to know where your towel is.
And we actually saw people in the car. Like, we were just getting our stuff together. We were in our car. We saw down the road. This lady is stripping, putting a towel on.
Hey, now.
Of course, we stayed there and watched for a second or two. Okay. Nice. Thank you.
We're into girls. Totally into the females, as long as they're hot.
Okay. The family and I... To completely do 180, the family and I went to the Gloucester Ren Fair.
Okay,
that's a complete 180.
It didn't rain there.
No,
oh.
It was
but
hot.
It's geeky.
It's geeky. Okay. It was a small fair. It had a few vendors. It was nice. They had
Renaissance character did you go as?
The I'm not dressing up character.
What?
Did anyone in your party dress up?
No. Nobody dressed up. Sorry, I'm not.
It's called LARPing.
Come on.
I'm not going out in 100-degree heat and wearing, like, 3 layers of clothing.
It's called LARPing.
I'm sorry.
Okay. They had a couple fighting demonstrations there, including they actually had a feudal Japanese player there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a third time they've done this, so it's going to grow and it's going to get better. So it was a good fight. It was a good time.
Now you'd enjoy it next time if you were dressed as a nobleman or something.
Maybe.
I'm not gay.
Did they have what?
Sorry. Did they have those big ass turkey legs?
The pterodactyl legs? Did they have? Because those are good, man.
I didn't see them. I'm not saying they didn't have, but I just didn't see them.
What about jousting? I remember from a Ren Fair when I was younger where they had like actual.
Yeah, I've been to other jousting. Ren Fairs. They've had that. This was just too small. They couldn't fit it for where they had it.
Maybe in a couple of years.
Yeah, they'll move it a little bit. And where they had it right there, they had all the space used, so if they move it over a little bit.
That was such a visual moment that it's lost for the ages.
Sorry. Moved.
Moving. Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Moving your head around. That was awesome.
I watched the UFC Fight Night live.
Yeah, brother.
On Saturday night. Actually, recorded it. Watched the next day. The main card was Sylvia versus Irvin, and it was over in 1 minute.
Your Jewish mother and father, Sylvia and Irvin.
Yeah. Come on now, what is up with it?
The main fight was over in about 1 minute.
I would do the wrestling, but tights tend to make me chafe.
Really, we don't want to see you in the
I'm going to need a little bit of powders.
I don't mind.
You ever covered yourself in Vaseline?
Feel it squishing between your toes. Wait, so the fight was only like a minute long?
Yeah. They had 6 fights on the card that you got to see, but...
He did apologize, say it's never happened to him before, and that maybe later they could try again.
Yeah. let's see. I watched Star Wars Tech and Batman Tech. Let's see. To sum up both shows very, very quickly.
Tech.
Most of the Batman tech is possible, plausible, or is in existence now. Most of the Star Wars tech is completely impossible and will never happen.
No, it is possible. It just happened a long, long time ago.
In a galaxy.
And we lost the technology.
Oh, we lost the technology.
Like Atlantis. It's like Atlantis. We lost entire galaxies and stuff, man.
Okay. Mm. All right, we'll go with that one.
I believe.
Now, is that the Batman tech, like the new Dark Knight movie, or like the shark repellent?
No, no shark repellent. I got to drop down the can of shark repellent. Hit him in the head with it. See if it works. No.
Thank goodness that noble porpoise gave his life to save us.
Didn't they also do a Mythbusters on?
Oh yeah,
yes.
On that, like the grappling hook.
The grappling
and some
hook
of the other
could
stuff
sort of kind of maybe work if it was much bigger and whatnot.
Right. Yeah, it just couldn't be as small as they have it in the movies.
Yeah, the repeller, the one that they can climb up real quick. They actually have something like that. It's a little bit bigger than you see in the Batman movies, but it can be
object is larger.
Plausible.
Yeah, right. Plausible. Last thing, I'm listening to Christiane Ellis's Space Casey for
oh,
our good
how
friends.
Is that?
It's actually pretty good. I haven't finished it yet, so I don't want to give a full
okay.
review, but it's pretty good. I listened to it again.
Sweet.
That's it.
Good week, sir. Okay, well then, something that you left off again that I wrote down specifically so you wouldn't forget is that we played Apples to Apples with the kids.
Oh, yeah.
We played Apples to Apples with kids. Did we play with when Dave was down, too?
Mm-mm.
Or no,
we didn't.
We
were going to,
but
we
you
didn't.
Know, played with kids now, played with adults, played in different situations. There's nowhere that game doesn't work.
Yeah.
There's just nowhere that
yeah,
game doesn't work.
We first played it as a drinking game at a party.
Yep.
And
yep.
that was fun on a whole level with, you know,
with
10 to
involved.
12
drinking.
Adults around. And then, you know, I'm an English teacher, and it's really nouns and adjectives. So I brought it into my classroom, and we played it at the end of the year, and the kids really liked it and really got into it.
It's a very good game.
And then we played it with our kids, and it was totally different experience, but really fun.
Still incredibly fun.
They're so really funny and random. So, like, their sense of humor is so similar that the randomness, like, you would know what the other person would find funny.
Because wasn't it like comfortable or soothing or something, and like electric chair was one of the
right.
I was like, oh, right. That's
gotta
fantastic.
Pick that one. Hey. And I had the best one.
Oh, this was good time.
I had corrupt, or the word was corrupt.
The word was corrupt.
And I had in my hand Hillary Rodham Clinton. And I won.
Funny. Yeah. So, of course, saw The Dark Knight, worked like mad on the show. We were all part of that, so
yes,
it was
we
all
were.
Part of everybody's week. Oh,
yeah.
Your voice recorder sucks. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
No,
I'm
it's
sorry.
Not. It sounded good when we tested it.
Yeah, it
we just didn't
great.
Test it with a crowd.
Yeah,
right.
We were sitting in this room and testing it out, going,
"Hey,
da, da,
with
da, da,
no
da,
background
da,
noise, it
yes.
picks us up fine." Go figure.
Yeah.
Read a bunch of comic books over in JSA number 17. GOG is helping everyone out, like, you know, he's like healing people and whatnot, like being a god, if you will.
I thought he was a bad guy.
Well, see, that's what confused us all. But at the end of the issue, he goes to hunt down people because he doesn't like war. He's going to stop people from having wars. So apparently,
so
we're about to find out. Maybe. We're about to see where all this is going.
Yeah,
it's
that
been
makes
a
sense.
Very interesting plot line that's been going on in there.
I can see how he does it. He slaps him on the wrist. Goes, don't fight anybody.
Don't do it, man. Secret Invasion
no
number four of eight over at Marvel. Very, very nice. Jarvis the Skrull is awesome. Jarvis the Skrull is the most interesting character I've just ever seen. He looks like Jarvis. He never scrolls out, if you want to call it that, hulking out, scrolling out, whatever, and still talks to you as if he is a warrior scroll ready to kill you at a moment's notice. And
okay.
that is just an interesting dichotomy. Hey, is that Captain America?
Is it?
Huh, what? Oh, I guess we'll have to find out next issue. Could Steve Rogers be coming back already? And if so, why do we kill people off to bring them back like 7 months later? I don't know.
Because
we'll
it's, that's what we do.
No. Star Trek Assignment Earth number 3. No. Star Trek Assignment Earth number 3, I read that. Star Trek Mirror Image, starting a completely new Star Trek series in the Mirror Universe.
Ooh.
In fact, this one starts off back in the day with Commander Kirk plotting to kill Captain Pike.
Ooh.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Doctor Who number 5, the comic, it's those are hit and miss.
Do the Star Trek one, do they all, everybody have goatees, including
No,
Europe?
It was really
that's
just
a
Spock.
Myth.
It was really just
Spock.
To really be able to point out the difference between their characters, since he's still a Vulcan and doesn't act all kinds of, you know, emotionally crazy like the rest of them, they needed something for you to see the difference that just became, oh, you know he's the bad guy.
He's
which is
good.
Weird because he was the best person in the bad guy universe.
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. Went back, got old school, read the JLA Avengers miniseries, which I had never, ever, ever, ever read. That was really good.
Okay.
I really enjoyed that. I also read Green Lantern Aliens. That's a miniseries from a few years ago. It was okay. It started out really well and then went somewhere I didn't.
Kind of faded.
Yeah. Like, but probably the greatest comic find of the week would have to be Ambush Bug Year None.
I heard you talk about this one.
It's too damn funny.
What?
You've never read Ambush Bug. Ambush Bug is a comic book character who knows he's a comic book character.
Is he also a bug?
No.
No. No, he has like this weird little masky thing that I guess sort of makes you a cartoony bug sort of thing.
Kind of tick looking.
Kind of, except skinny. A really skinny guy who knows that he is a comic book character.
So does he discover that he's a comic book character, or he always?
He's known for like forever and ever. I don't even remember when he even found out. But he, whenever he's in it, it's just going to be funny because he knows. And some of the things, it turns out in this special, you realize some of the devastating things that have happened in the DC universe over the past couple of years have accidentally been his fault. Like let's put it this way. Turns out that Ambush Bug is the one that is ultimately responsible for Sue Dibney being killed in Identity Crisis.
What?
What?
Well, the person that killed Sue Dibney actually got the idea from talking on the phone to Ambush Bug. And that's why.
Wow.
It's funny. You have to read that to really get that. It was fun. Oh, speaking of Riff-tracks, we also did the episode 3
Riff-track. Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Episode. Wow. Episode
From
3.
From whiny little emo
yep.
to the Darth Vader.
In,
yeah.
In 30 seconds. It's fantastic. Somebody had to do it. So we did watch like the Batman Robin riff tracks. So to cleanse the palate the next day, went back, got great Batman filmology and the animated Mask of the Phantasm.
Yes.
Watch that again.
That's
that
a good
is
one.
A damn
That's
fine
a good one.
Film. I do like it. It is good stuff.
Was that pulled from the comic, like that storyline, or was that totally
no,
original?
It was just a movie for the animated series. Mm-hmm. It was actually going to be straight to video. They're like, wait, no, this is actually pretty good. Let's do it theatrically. It came out on Christmas Day. And was gone from theaters in like 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I love Batman, but Day
I saw it
is
the
not
theaters.
The day to release it to really get people there.
Yeah.
Plus, it was a PG-13 animated kids movie. Mm-hmm. Well, that's your mistake for thinking it's a kids movie.
Yeah.
It was a Batman cartoon with blood in it. Oh, they can't have someone think of the children, won't you? So it's a great movie. If you've never seen Mask of the Phantasm, quite a bit is... They borrow Batman Begins and all this. They borrow from Frank Miller. They borrow from Year One. They borrow from Long Halloween. They borrow from the animated series a lot.
And
there
was
are some things from what?
Mark Hamill is the Joker.
Mark
right?
Hamill is the Joker.
Yeah. Excellent. He's creepy.
He is really good at that. And there are episodes of the animated series where the Joker will just weird you the hell out. Yes, he will. And if it was on HBO. It would have been a little closer to what we saw in the theater. It really would have.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's my geeky week. I guess, according to the big board, look, we've got the big board again.
Yay!
The vicar doesn't like the big board, but look, it keeps us organized. I'm just telling you. He doesn't. I don't like it. I'm whiny. I'm going to not know when I go on vacation.
Or come back.
GRD News. Oh, I should have it in front of me. So when's the pub crawl?
November.
We have a pub crawl coming up in November. It's the second pub crawl. It's not the second
annual.
GRD pub crawl, but it is the second annual pub crawl, which this time it will be GRD. It'll be the GRD pub crawl.
November 8th?
November, is that right?
No.
November 15th.
Really, I'm pretty sure the 15th.
November 15th.
November 15th. We're going to be down there. We're going to be in Richmond, Virginia. If you're anywhere near there, come on out. Quite a few of us are getting rooms and whatnot, so if you need a place to crash, there should be some place available for you to crash. We're going to start at Richbrow. We're starting at Richbrow and ending up who knows where.
We're going to end up near Mars.
Yes.
It's the last place that's
we'll
going to be.
We'll end up near Mars. We will not be going to Fallout unless you desperately, desperately want to, in which we'll set up a separate side trip for that.
Yes.
Especially with it being on Saturday night.
We'll be going to normal, not normal, you know what I mean? Like pretty standard bars and clubs, and cha-chas and, you know, a bunch of different
like
places that
cha-chas.
Are just fun. Good music,
Shanae,
good
if
people.
It's not too booked.
Mm-hmm. You know,
not
nothing
full.
That's too crowded.
We're not
going
to Blackfin.
No. I like Blackfin, but it's a little.
We'll have a total itinerary.
It's a lot pretentious.
We've got a nice thread up there of geekradiodaily.com.
Look at you working the name in there. Fantastic. We're also going to see a bunch of folks down at Dragon Con.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Oh, you know, in the mail, I did get my little Dragon Con.
I did too.
Yeah.
I got that too.
Yeah.
Oh, sad little puppy dog over there. He's not going. I know.
I told you, go ahead and get our rooms for next year.
I know. I'm already going to go get it right now.
Oh, because especially like right now, since I'm such the golden child here at the station, because I didn't screw up all of my vacation stuff, I pretty much get to pick when I want to go on vacation next year. So I'm going to Dragon Con. Whether the vicar gets to go next year, I don't know yet. But I'm going to Dragon Con this year and next year. So
I'm getting a room next year.
That's all we really need to know. As far as cons, that's pretty much it for us for the
year.
You know, I don't know where else we'd possibly go or what else is possibly around. So come see us at Dragon Con or the pub crawl. Otherwise, I don't know when you'll get to see us.
Yeah, they're not really any winter cons, right?
Unless it's, you know, online. You can come check out the Flickr. Is it Flickr?
No. Well. We have some things on Flickr, but it's actually...
What does GRD have?
Oh, GRD has something on Flickr.
Thank you. That's what I was talking about, the GRD.
Yeah. You can find it at the website.
There's
a link right
us,
on the website. Okay.
There's you and I. There's the show. So there's different Wii's.
Yeah,
I understand.
True.
Universal Wii?
I get confused by pronouns.
The Nintendo Wii? Is that on
there
too?
I've got
She's an English teacher.
Dark Knight stuff and Balticon pictures and stuff. I've got some pretty geeky stuff on my Picasso page.
You could also go and buy Cafe Press. We've got the store up there, cafepress.com/geekradiodaily. There's t-shirts, there's mugs, there's hats. And someone has, I'm not calling out names, someone has bought panties.
I heard.
We have sold. Mm. We have sold. Some panties.
Yeah.
So some panties are flying out the door. Make sure you get yours because nothing says that you're cool, hip, and with it
Like GRD panties?
Like having GRD panties. Like having GRD
thongs.
Right there in the fun zone, in the fun. I guess.
What else? Hey, honey. Hey. Listen to a podcast while
you...
You
want to come over with a thing? So is
wanna
that
thing? My microphone?
Yeah. Ooh. You know, come on by. Make sure you check out the Daily Show, Geek Radio Daily. It's over there at the website, geekradiodaily.com. That's where you'll find the forums. That's where you'll find all kinds of fun stuff. Go by iTunes. Write a review for us, won't you please?
Please.
That would be so helpful. Currently, right now for my Geeky Week, I am currently downloading... I installed iTunes just to download the damn thing, but I'm getting the Watchmen moving comic. It's free on iTunes.
Really?
The first issue is 25 minutes long. It's narrated, and it has like some animation of panels of what I've heard. I haven't seen it, but I will be watching it very, very soon.
Link it.
I certainly... Oh, it's in the forums.
Oh, is it?
It's definitely in the forums.
Of course. Groovy, groovy.
Well, then I guess we need to take a look at some mail.
We've got mail. It's not spam.
At least not today. Take a look. Should we start print mail?
Yeah, start print mail.
Print mail, print mail. All right. Corey says, GRD Weekly right. Oh, there you go then. Thank you,
that's
Corey.
That's it.
Oh, no, there is more.
Oh.
Dark Knight, at least as good as Iron Man. Stayed through half the credits. Love seeing Fat Thug and Cop with Fat Thug as characters. Characters from the film. Nothing at the end of the credits. I think we even said that.
Yeah,
I was quite surprised by that.
Yeah.
That there was no little shout out of any kind.
And a lot of people stayed. So
a lot of people stayed.
You think there was probably maybe some false rumor?
People really thought
Well, everybody
that.
Got through. You know, Iron Man went, oh, we're supposed to stay at the end. Oh,
right. Wait, all these people that worked so hard on this movie, we should pay attention?
Maybe. Mm. David says, hey, Billy Flynn, I am outraged, sir. Okay, not really outraged, but I would like to take exception with your blanket statement that Christian music is lame, referencing me being on the Jesus Geeks podcast.
Okay.
Oh, I'm also in your story. I'm a character in your story also, the audio
right.
drama you're doing. I don't have this stuff written down. What about bands like Jars of Clay and Skillet have been innovative and unique? On the flip side, I have trouble listening to Christian radio because, well, as the Flintsters said, only so many things rhyme with Jesus, and a great deal of Christian music is subpar, but then so is secular pop music. I think the real problem with both these gems is they are produced to appeal to the lowest common denominator. Anyway, love you guys and all you do. That's from David. And, I don't think of stuff like Jars of Clay... And even and Creed, I don't really think of them.
I don't think of Creed as a Christian rock band.
As a Christian rock band,
right.
To a degree they are, and I can see that.
Yeah.
But when I think Christian rock band,
they don't appeal to
I
the Christian rock crowd.
I see these stupid things that you see on TV, you know,
Amy Grant, and,
or even you know, the ones where all the kids are singing in the they're at the concert. Oh, open the
Young
eyes
life.
Of my heart, oh Lord, or whatever. If you like that song, that's the stuff
that's
normally
you.
Hear. That's the stuff you normally hear associated with that, so I don't think of it like that. But they should play more stuff like that. I'd love to listen to some Christian rock station, whatever, and hear some stuff from Jesus Christ Superstar.
Go to the gym I work at. You'll hear it all the time.
Billy Flynn and the Vicar, no longer just dudes. You all are a-holes for your Saturday trivia. You found something that can't be Googled in under an hour. Since I was noticeably absent from about half the 80s, I'm going to have to concede this one. Don't think I won't get even later, Carl. It was nothing personal, Carl.
Nothing personal.
It wasn't
sure
against
was.
You by itself.
If it was easy, everybody could find it.
Exactly. Yeah. Besides, you know, nothing ventured, nothing gained. It's no pain, no gain, whatever.
Yeah.
You
know, if it was easy, you wouldn't appreciate the fact that we took so much time.
Exactly.
12 seconds. To find this and put this together for you to rack your brain for an hour on Google.
You didn't have work to do or anything.
Yeah, were you at work when you did this?
No, not at all. Let's see, and Butch sends us sends a little thing. He says, hey, on GRD for Friday, sorry, this is part of the Daily Show, but it will work here.
Okay.
You said that Batman could beat Spider-Man in a fight when talking about box office. My question for you today is, was there ever a what-if comic or something where Batman fought Superman? Since, as you pointed out in the broadcast, I have no comic book friends, figured I'd once again ask you. And I did send him a message back, and we talked briefly about this, that, yeah, few and far between. Now, there is your special antenna. Which I know nothing about.
Nothing.
Right, no.
Nothing.
But I've heard tell from all those hip kids that you can download all kinds of things, comic books included, from there. And there, you would find some Batman, Spider-Man things. There have been.
Batman, Spider-Man, or Batman, Superman?
Batman, Superman. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh, it said Batman, Spider-Man. He did ask me specifically about Batman, Superman.
Okay.
That would be the easiest place to find stuff for DC, because Marvel Comics does have digital comics online.
Mm-hmm.
For $9.99 a month, or for $60
a
year,
yeah.
You can...
That's not bad.
Yeah, you
no,
can
it's
go
not.
Through...
It's not free, but it's not
free.
Bad.
You can go digital and get like just hundreds and hundreds of old stuff. And that's a good place to find that too. Now, if you really want a cool Batman Superman, there was all kinds of them all over time in a bunch of the Brave and the Bold, World's Finest. Mm-hmm. Lots of different times Batman and Superman have fought. Usually Batman gets some kind of superpower. Superman loses his. One of them's a bad guy because they're mind controlled, whatever.
There's always kryptonite involved.
But if you want the Batman Superman fight to end all, read Frank Miller's The Dark Knight Returns.
Oh, yes.
That is great. That is Batman and Superman, and only one person gets to walk away.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
See, I could see them having some serious differences in opinions.
You would like, especially now with the Batman stuff you've read, you would like Dark Knight Returns because it's 10 years after Bruce Wayne has given up being Batman. And it's a world now where superheroes are not exactly welcome.
Mm.
So it's a Watchmen Incredibles type of thing,
mm-hmm.
except it's from Batman's point of view and how it messes up the government when he comes back. And Superman is really just a peon for the government now. The big blue boy scout is.
Yikes.
So there is a showdown. I'm not giving anything away by telling you there is a showdown at the end between Batman and Superman, and it's worth the whole ride. And you'd like it just to see what happened to some of the other DC heroes.
Believe
is
that you your have friend, a message,
Butch? Sir. Yeah, that's my friend, Butch.
Oh, hi, Butch.
Hi, Butch.
Actually, I have
a man I once lived with.
Not
we were
like
in tech school.
There's anything wrong with
no,
that.
No, because we were in the Air Force. That would have been wrong.
Oh, so there. So was
ask.
In sin.
And he's
don't tell.
So not my type. So there's
uh-huh.
that.
Okay, I got an email from David over there. Hey, the Bruce, I just wanted to drop you a line and say thanks. Whenever I listen to the weekly show in the Geek Fit Club, I feel just a little more healthy, like I'm doing something good for me. Oh, that's good to hear.
Wow.
I'm utilizing a variation what I like to call the Geek Fit Light, and I think it's working. Several times a day, I lift Mountain Dew cans. It's sort of like curls. So I have a question. How many times do I have to lift a Mountain Dew can to, say, my lips to get a good workout?
Yeah.
It's a 12-ounce can, but every time I lift it, I feel a little bit. It feels a little bit lighter. Does it mean it's working, right? Yeah, David, that's exactly what it means. You're getting stronger 2 ounces at a time.
If it was a diet Mountain Dew can, then you would get a little bit because there would be
zero
no calories
yeah.
coming in for that tiny bit of workout you're
getting.
Well,
the thing is, I actually figured this out.
Oh,
I actually did some math.
Is there a scientific formula?
I did a scientific formula. I figured that it was 6 ounces average weight because you're halfway full, halfway empty.
Right.
And if the can is not empty mm-hmm. for 40,000 of the repetitions, if you do 50,000 repetitions, you'll get stronger.
I know this because I'm a geek.
Wow.
So you just go ahead.
Repetitions.
You have 50,000 repetitions. Mind what? You, I am just pulling this completely.
Oh, can you sir. Imagine someone who took 50,000 sips of Mountain Dew, even diet Mountain Dew, all in one day?
Curse up, space ponies! I'm making gravy without the lumps!
Yeah, pretty much.
That's David right now.
Yeah! 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 Woo! I'm a rock star! I'm a stud, baby! Yeah!
Wow.
You can't touch me! So, okay. Well,
so Mountain Dew Curls is the new Fit Club
now,
segment.
Now, if you'd like to really know more about the Fit Club, you know, we're going to have that coming up in just a second. But if you want to send in a real email or a fake one,
that's
I guess
fine,
that's totally, totally fine. You can do that by sending it to Billy Flynn, Vicar, or The Bruce at GeekRadioDaily.com. And I think we have Un voicemail.
Un.
Ready. Here we go.
Hello, gentlemen. It's podcasting's Rich Siegfried. That's right. The patron saint of GRD Radio.
Well.
Now, there were a few shows you guys missed on the GRD Weekly show about 80s action shows. The first one, The Greatest American Hero, ran from 1981 to 1983, starred William Cat Robert Culp, who should play Bruce Campbell's father in any movie.
Yes.
And the lovely, beautiful, gorgeous Connie Selleck.
Connie
of course,
Selleck.
The TV show is about a man who happens to find an alien package. Included in there
is package.
A superhero suit and an instruction manual, where the instruction manual constantly gets lost. Another
Twice.
Show, Voyagers, which ran from
1980
to John Eric Hexum.
John Eric
Phineas
Hexum.
Bog, and Mino Like It Matters, because you never saw the kid again. But these
Mino
were time
Perkins.
Travelers, kind of the start of Quantum Leap. Little pocket watch that Phineas Bog carried around with him. And whenever the light was red, they had to solve some kind of mix-up in time. When it turned green, they could leap to the next time period.
Quick gumshoes.
Always hoping to bring the kid back to his family. Now, here's one that might be a little late, but it was called My Secret Identity. It ran from 1980
yes,
to 1991.
Oh, Jerry O'Connell.
It starred Jerry O'Connell. I think it was his first show. It ran
he was
about
cute.
70 episodes. And the plot is that the adventures of a superhero teen and a scientist.
Mm-hmm.
The tagline, all superheroes had to start from somewhere. Guys, show's running awesome. Love it. Download it all the time. Listen to it. and so should everybody else.
Aww.
Don't forget, go to geekradiodaily.com and check out the forums.
Wow, he pimps us in.
He pimps us.
Nice. That's
good. The voicemail. That's
and that was funny because I was thinking when you were saying that you're like the comic book reference for a lot of your friends.
Oh, duh.
Didn't PRS call you
called
just
me
yesterday?
Up yesterday. He was watching Justice League Unlimited with a younger person, a child, if you will.
Mm.
Hopefully it was in a very sane and safe environment. And he's like, I was just wondering, who is this person running around with no face?
Oh, the question.
Exactly. I was like, well, that would be the question. I gave it like a quick little rundown, and I'm like, you know, and no, he does have a face. It's just hidden under the stuff, and he comes back. I was like, as a matter of fact, I told him about 52 and about how now Renee Montoya from the Batman animated series cartoon, because it's like we watch all the cartoons. I'm like, oh, we'll tell her that cop, she becomes the new version of this guy. So, that's amazing. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's around.
So it works.
Yeah, you are so, like, that guy for so many people. Like, if they were ever on a game show.
I'm that guy.
If they were ever on a game show or something, they would call you.
Hey, don't blame me. I'm with that guy. That guy. That guy. Okay. You can always send a voicemail. I don't know the real number. The only number I remember is 206-3-FUN-HECK.
3-FUN-HECK.
By all means, please send a message. You'll get it played here on the shoe. We'd like to do those here for the weekly shoes. We will play them here on the shoe.
Yes.
Just fine. So there is that. So thank you, Podcasting's Rich Siegfried, who does help us out and very slowly does get all of his shows out, which you can find all of them over there at RequiemOfTheOutcast.com because pimping ain't easy. We're going to be right back in just a second. We're going to be taking... What? Oh, my God. We have to do the Fit Club. I forgot about the Fit Club. Oh, because you had that...
You'll look good.
You had the mail about the Fit Club.
Yeah.
I can't compete with you physically.
You're not strong. You're silky boy.
Well, you don't want rough boys, do you?
Yeah.
Bruce's like, no.
Maybe
you
don't. Maybe you do. I don't know.
Silky skin, strong muscles.
I'm going to... Fit Club.
Go ahead, keep digging yourself into the hole.
No, thanks.
Never mind.
And we still have to keep our PG rating here, ladies
Fit
and gentlemen.
Fit Club, sir, I think you were saying, yes.
Yes, two things I want to talk about Fit Club today. Weigh-ins next week.
Marlon Wayans?
No.
Hot damn.
Yes, Marlon Wayans.
Marlon
Wayans will be on the show next week?
He doesn't know it yet.
Oh. Okay.
We have to make a road trip and
it's the Vickers job to get him on the show.
Is that why he's late?
Yeah.
He's bringing back Marlon Wayans.
Marlon Wayans. Nice.
That's exactly what it is. Weigh-ins next week.
This is quite homoerotic.
No.
A road trip with Marlon Wayans and the Vicar. That's just a bad TV movie waiting.
With pants or without pants?
I don't
definitely pants. Has to be pants.
So we do weigh-ins next week.
Yes.
Bring it.
Oh, good.
I'm fine.
I'm not.
I'm ready.
Yeah, we didn't
I'm
have not. Buffet lunch yesterday or anything. No, but you've been
buffet
so
lunch
good.
At Lowry's yesterday.
Yeah, she told me about
oh,
that.
Oh, lasagna and chicken wings. Oh.
two foods that should never go together, but somehow
they
do.
They did, so and they good. Did well, too. I had my. You saw I had my chicken BLT salad from Wendy's today with my Coke Zero here.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So, and this is actually going to go into the next thing that we're going to talk about today really quickly.
The stuff
portion
that I
control.
Eat?
No.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Portion control. Now, everybody thinks that, hey, whatever I eat is a portion, right? Nope.
No.
If you eat half a bag of Doritos, that is not one portion.
Those little things of Ben and Jerry's?
Yeah.
Those are three.
Yeah.
Those are three portions in the Ben and Jerry's things.
They got those little single
they
servings.
They do.
Those,
and
that's
I love
one
those.
Serving.
Yeah.
But always look on the back and see how much you're actually eating and if it's one serving or not. Because if you're eating more than one serving, you have to multiply all the fat grams, the calories, all this together by how many servings you have. So.
Because very quickly, if you grab that 20-ounce Mountain Dew and not the diet one,
yes.
That's
two and a half servings
in that
yes.
bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. So look in the back, and hey, it's only got 70, 80 calories. No, that's for one serving. That's for 6 ounces. You just had 3 pounds.
Oh.
That's per sip.
Yes. You know, the whole bag of Doritos thing, one serving is about 11 chips.
Yeah.
You eat a half a bag, guess what? Do some math.
That's what I'm saying. For you know, if you're like me, you like to have that snack in the afternoon before you go home and you know have some dinner. The Orville Redenbacher, 100-calorie little
mm-hmm.
microwave popcorn.
Yes,
that is a decent amount mm-hmm. for only two Weight
it's
Watchers.
Pretty, yeah, it's a pretty good amount of
yeah.
food.
And we're not going to go through and go through all the listings of how much this is. You know, 6 ounces of chicken, 4 ounces, whatever. No, go to the USDA. It's USDA.gov. They're going to have everything that you need to see. If they don't, other sites will. They'll show you all the things that you need to see for what portions and how to do portion control anyway.
Because that's good. Because that's the biggest thing for folks is to try. You get that down, and that's a good chunk of your battle right there.
Yes,
and even
is.
When you see, like, the Nutrisystem commercials, you know the one where they're like $10 a day. And, okay, if you think about that, that's like $300 a month or whatever. But if you look and they're like, eat pizza, eat chocolate, eat whatever you want. But they
uh-huh.
show the picture of it,
yes.
and it's a small quantity.
It is,
it's a little bitty
quantity.
Thing. So,
That's why, you know, be very, very good and buy yourself that small single version of the Ben & Jerry's so you can treat yourself later.
Yeah, every once in a while, that's no problem.
Every now and then.
Or just go have lasagna and chicken wings.
Yeah.
Damn, that was good.
No idea.
Well, you know, this 100-calorie packs, all this little packaging that's kind of popular right now.
Yeah.
It kind of hurts me because I think of the environmental waste. You know, like it would just be better for the environment to not have as much little chips.
You can do it yourself, too. Just take the big bag of it and portion control it yourself. Say it's 11 chips. Okay, throw in a little Ziploc bag, put in your bag. You're good.
Yeah, but there's 11 from that and
11 from one for me, one for me, one for me.
Tricky. However we need to do it, by all means. Come over to the website, geekradiodaily.com. We've got the Fit Club segment there. Lots of people sharing success stories and honest stories. When we all slip up, it's right there. We let you know. And people pass around all this kind of information. And, of course, you always got the Bruce on hand.
I'm here.
Because, you know, if you weren't there, you'd be out roaming the streets, and that's a little scary.
We don't want that.
Soaking wet.
Okay, so the Chosen One, and maybe some Dark Knight 2 spoiler stuff when we come back here on this Saturday, July 26th, episode 20 of Geek Radio Daily. No, GRD Weekly.
GRD Weekly.
I don't know what show it is.
Hello, this is Johannes Gainsfleisch zur Laden zum Gutenberg, the inventor of printing press, movable type, and beer. After I invented the beer, I printed the Bible just to hedge my bets. One thing I did not invent was the Podiobooks.com. I think you need the Apple Pod or a computation device to listen to this Podiobook thing. Many famous authors, none as famous as me, of course, have their work published over there for free download. My Bible and beer you need to pay for, of course. Audiobooks.com. The future of audio movable type in your ear. Audiobooks.com.
You couldn't do it.
You did it again.
You couldn't do it.
Oh, Lord. GRD Weekly number 20 this Saturday, July 26th. I'm sorry. That's funny. The techno version of the techno. I don't want to give things away, but it's an episode of Spaced you haven't seen where they all go to a rave. And that's all I'm going to say. I've only seen like five episodes. It's one of my favorite episodes.
Oh, the one of the five. It's the best.
That's one of the five.
Yes.
I've heard there are better ones, but the one where they go to the rave.
We'll just have to get the DVD.
I still haven't seen. No, I've seen the episode one episode is actually probably better than that. The guy who does the voice of Darth Maul is actually on the show.
It's not Ray Park doing
his voice? Ray Park does not do the voice.
Really? I thought he did his own voice.
No, he does not.
Oh, go for it.
Soon we shall have our revenge against the Jedi. So anyway, that's a little thing because Spaced is out on DVD this week, and that's just fantastic, and it's wonderful, and it's fun. But today we're talking about something not going to be on DVD until August 26th, and that is the movie The Chosen One, directed by Chris Lackey from a script by Chris and his buddy. What's his buddy? Something. It's Chad.
Chad
Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer.
Chad mm-hmm. Pfeiffer. Yes. This bad boy being, they did a screening at Comic-Con Friday. They've got a booth there through the weekend. I've already told Dex he's got some people over at Comic-Con. They go find this guy and talk to them. This movie has Tim Curry, Lance Henriksen, Chris Sarandon, Tracy Lords, Laura Pepperin from That 70s Show. She was Dawn on That 70s Show.
Yes, she was.
God, she was Dawn on That 70s Show.
Like the redhead version better.
Yeah, the blonde? The
blonde.
Didn't work for me. No. She's not a blonde. It's an animated film.
And Danielle Fishel. I forgot her.
Oh, Danielle Fish. Topanga is in the movie. I forgot Topanga was in the movie. Who else is in the movie that I don't remember? Anybody?
don't know.
Anybody?
I think you pretty much got everybody.
Yeah, right. Pretty much got everybody.
I mean, Tim Curry. Goodness.
Tim Curry. So, okay, the deal of this was we got an email from Chris, you know, talking about this, how it's going to be at Comic-Con, you know, would we like to review it? And he tells me, you know, he starts to tell me who's in it. And I stopped and I immediately typed an email and said, okay, you had me at Tim Curry.
God is in this movie.
God is in this movie. Tim Curry is in the movie.
Yes.
That plain and simple. Plain and simple. The Chosen One is about this guy, Lou. Lou's had probably not the best day.
No, he's had a very, very bad day.
Lou hasn't had lots of good days to start with, but Lou has a bad day. Lou loses a job. Lou's broke. Lou's going to get thrown out of his apartment. Lou needs money.
Gets dumped by his girlfriend.
Gets dumped by his girlfriend.
Has a satellite drop on his car.
Can we say, we don't want to do spoilers at all, right?
I don't want to do spoilers. We can talk in general about it. But, you know,
he's had a very bad day.
There's some twists and stuff in this we don't want to give away.
Oh. Yeah.
Mauled by a bear. Lost his job, lost his girl. It's starting to sound like a country song, and then mauled by a bear.
Mauled by a bear. It was a very angry bear, too, so it was fantastic. So Lou, some of the crazy people he knows, like
Zeb.
Zeb, how old would you say Zeb is supposed to be?
88.
Zeb's in his 80s, and that's Chris Sarandon doing the voice for Zeb. That's the voice he wanted to do. He read the script. They asked him who he wanted, which character sung to him the most. He's like, I want to play Zeb. So yes, Prince Humperdinck.
Humperdinck! Humperdinck!
I make him better. Humperdinck suffers? Is the voice of this 80-year-old man, and it blew my mind at the end of it when it put the credit up, and it was like that he was Zeb, and I was like,
What?
Because, you know, Tim Curry, obviously, Tim Curry.
Yeah.
You're not going to hear Tim Curry's voice and go, wait a minute.
That
could be Jack Black.
That could be
John Cleese.
That could be George Clooney.
George Clooney can't act. Zeb goes to this church.
The Church of Frank.
The Church of Frank.
Which is a total ripoff of Scientology. It's
No. That would imply that Scientology is a ripoff and a scam, but it's not. It's a cult.
Oh, yes.
Go ahead. Sue me.
Sue me.
That's fine. I don't make any money on this.
So we're not going to get Tom Cruise on the show anytime soon.
Oh, well, since he's not going to be in Top Gun 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Or Iron Man.
He goes to the Church of Frank. And like most of the times that you've seen in shows like this, the Church of Frank, of course, has a chosen one that one day is going to go get to talk to God and, you know, help save the world and whatnot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lou, apparently Lou is the chosen one.
Apparently.
Because Lou has the mark.
The mark of Frank.
The mark of Frank upon him.
Which is underneath the bandages from where the bear mauled him.
So he's had the mark on him for a day or so.
Yes. For
a couple of days. So, of course, he thinks this is completely crazy. What? I'm not going to go to the promised land of Kansas.
Kansas,
the promised land.
On top of the mountain.
Mountain.
Which is kind of just a hill.
Well
if you've seen Smallville,
you
know there's mountains in Kansas if you watch Smallville. Right. There are snow-covered mountains in Kansas.
And Smallville is a suburb of Metropolis.
Of course it is. It's huge. It's crazy. So this movie is about Lou going on this trek because once money gets involved, which he needs, then he's actually willing to go on this. And along the way, it turns out there's people that no matter how crazy they think the Church of Frank is, they don't want the Chosen One accomplishing his mission.
Yes.
So this is about Lou on a journey of, well, I guess, self-discovery and trying to make a few bucks and what goes on along the way. Now, the girl that he meets, that's Topanga?
Well, yeah, the girl that he works with.
The girl he works with. That's
right.
He got
fired. He's kind of a loser, and he can't really get his act together.
Yeah.
So this girl in his life who's always been the friend, right?
She gets
him a job at her. She's a scientist.
She's just a friend.
And she works at a lab, and so she gets him a job cleaning out test tubes and beakers because somebody's got to do it.
Yeah, she was the princess of this island and decided to leave the island to become a scientist.
I love the backstory for everybody
in
the movie.
Yeah.
What?
It's just so much great. Tim Curry at the beginning gives you a little quick wrap-up of who everybody is and where they're going, because otherwise, once you started seeing what was going on, you would be completely lost.
Yeah.
So Tim Curry starts us all off and lets you know, gets us up to speed of what's going on, and then we proceed with the story of the Chosen One. And Lou cleans out beakers.
Yeah,
when
so
he remembers to.
When
her
he
name is Donna, and so she's a coworker to start out. And he doesn't really see her. You know, there's that whole dynamic.
It's the friend thing.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because he's pining for Tracy Lords, who...
No.
No? Isn't it
for
Tracy
For Rachel, who was played by Laura...
Laura Pepperell?
Yes.
Where's Tracy Lords figured?
She was Miss Sultry.
She was Miss Sultry.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
That's right. I'm so bad.
She's one of the
this.
Commandos.
She's one of the commandos. Because there are commandos. You can't have a story involving the
religion.
Chosen One or religion
without
and not have some Catholicism some Jewishness in there, and commandos. You've always got to have those three.
Yes.
I told you the robots were a bad idea.
Were they ever. So yes, along the way, Lou has to go and try to fulfill his role as the chosen one.
And he's got time for him. He's got like a day and a half to go.
It's got
to
be done. It's got to be done immediately, which is why it's a good,
it's
thing,
good
he
thing he showed up. Yeah.
When he did.
Good thing he showed up, yeah.
He just happened to go to the Church of Frank that day.
It's almost as if there's some other design going on.
Divine
there's a reason for all of it. Who knows?
Who knows?
And the fun to it is watching it to see. Because I had a really good time with the chosen one. I love the story.
The story
itself is what did we decide it was? That it was
Stranger Things?
It would make a good episode of Stranger Things. But it would, if Douglas Adams and Neil Gaiman were working on a collaboration, this would be the kind of thing that they would work on together. This is somebody doing a Douglas Adams, Neil Gaiman story.
Well, they quoted Douglas Adams and Neil Gaiman as their kind of inspirations or who they were kind of going for in that interview at AintItCool.com.
Well, you know, some more about that. How did these guys even get started? Because this is like their first
major production. They did a small production that actually got put up for an award, a DVD premiere award for a small animated film. And this is how they've got the voice talent, because one of the people that was doing the MC of the event was I can't remember the person's name.
It was Tim Curry's agent.
Yeah, Tim Curry's
agent. At this event.
Yes.
And they had asked Tim Curry to do it, and he passed on it at first.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then they got nominated for the award, and the agent was there, and this was kind of like, oh, hey, wait a minute.
Maybe I should come back.
And his project, A Family Affair, had fallen through, so now he had time and he could do it. And she also represents Lance Henriksen and Tracy Lords.
Yeah.
So that's how they got in the project. Chris Sarandon was the first one to commit, and he had worked with them on something before. Mm-hmm. So they were kind of friends.
So that's cool.
Before.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And this whole thing, it's animated in Adobe Flash.
Mm-hmm. He did it in his apartment.
The running. Oh, can we just stop for a second and talk about when the characters run and how funny that is?
It's awesome. So funny.
Okay. I love Adobe
this
Flash.
This animation reminds me of an amalgamation of like early South Park and Esurance commercial.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah.
But you don't have to have, you know, 3D and CGI and all of this sophisticated stuff to make a good story.
Done in Adobe Flash, edited in Final Cut. So this is basically some guys, they put it together. This is something they put
on
together
his
themselves.
Computer,
so they don't have a real big major studio really behind
$8,000 computer program.
Exactly.
No video toaster or anything like that.
No video toaster. Yeah, no, nothing like that. And they put together this quite clever, fun little story that I think once you should see it. It comes out on August 26th. You should definitely give it a try.
Some people have already seen it.
Some people have.
Yes. People at Comic-Con and us.
We have seen it. And we didn't even have to go to Comic-Con to see it. How about that? Woo!
Save them a plane ticket.
Yeah, exactly. Which is fun because, like I said, it is a really clever story. There's moments of this that are laugh out loud funny.
Just goofy, silly.
Just knock you over the head just to how funny it randomly is.
And then,
just when you think you have it all figured out.
There is a point about two-thirds of the way through the movie that it changes tones a little bit. Or changes
little
tone
bit.
A lot, actually.
Well, yeah. To be fair.
And it becomes almost a different type of movie, but it actually, that the change makes the story better.
Yes. It is an organic change. It goes to what's happening, and it does make a lot of the early stuff pay off later.
Yeah, and you actually have to start thinking about, wow, okay, that's kind of true, all right.
Frat boys are not going to dig this one. They're not going to be able to like get wasted on a Friday night and throw in the chosen one and be okay, because by the end of the movie, they'll be, the hell's going on, man?
I don't want to learn anything.
Yeah, and it pokes gentle fun at organized religion, but without being nasty or mean or offensive, I would think, in any way, shape, or form. It was, you know, it's kind of funny. You've got the Pope and the head of the, you know, all the different religions sort of working together, and it was just kind of, it was, and the Eastern religions, that was really funny too.
That was
really funny.
Okay.
Sure, whatever. And, you know, so it was gentle. It wasn't in your face. It wasn't trying to say that they're evil or that they're bad or that they're corrupt or any negativity towards the organized religions.
I think really all they're really trying to say with religion in it, at least what I took from it, and wow, if I'd seen this before we had that talk in the Jesus Geeks, hey, here's a good one about religion, is that, you know, everyone's religious journey is a personal journey for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really all it is. And I thought that was quite clever.
There's
a lot to like. There's a lot to like in this movie, and I think I do like it more than I should. Because you can tell it's a first time movie. It's a little rough around the. It's an independent film, but it's animated. It's kind of weird. because there's some stretches in the movie that they don't quite work, mm-hmm. but altogether,
yeah,
altogether, it's a damn fine time.
It's the first part, the first, like I said, two thirds, you can kind of suspend reality a little bit. It's like, yeah, okay, that's kind of cute. It does work. It's like I said, it like Billy said, it's a very good first attempt. First major production.
I'm really excited to see the next thing that they do.
Yes.
Right.
That's how good this story is.
We need to support them. We need to support them overall, and buy this.
And the overall execution of this, because I want to see their next thing.
Right.
Yeah. The main idea of the story, what it goes into, does make this very, very good. It improves the story a good bit, but they need to work on the first part a little bit, make it a little more plausible. But they do suspend reality, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, and I didn't have any problem with that. It's just some of the, because there's a lot of different tones, as we've said, and some of the tone shifts are a little harder to go along with than others.
Yes.
And I think that's really, of all the, especially when we're talking animated films that we've seen come out of the last couple of years, come on, easily, this is much better than most of the things that we've seen over the last couple of years.
So it's a lot more intelligent story. Pants.
That's what I was going to ask now. What would everyone give as their rating? For this particular,
I'm going to start off with a 7.5 pants.
Okay.
I was thinking 8 pants.
Wow. See? And, wow, I hate to be the low guy on the totem pole. I was thinking 7 pants. I love the story. I want to see more work from these guys. But some of the tone shifts did throw me for kind of
a
loop.
Seven and a half average
is tremendous.
It's not bad. The more and more I thought about this film, the more and more I liked it. It wasn't one of those movies that you go, hey, this is great, and then 2 weeks later you go, oh, that kind of sucked.
No, because we had a conversation about it later that night. We've had one about it since then, I do believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do keep talking about this movie. Maybe I need to see it again. Maybe it was just the complete, because I had no idea what this was.
Yeah,
it was called The Chosen One. I didn't read the plot description
this
or anything.
This is the first time I've ever
threw the disc in.
Yeah. This is the first time I've ever gone into a movie. I had no idea what this thing was about. I didn't even know it was animated.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought you knew that. I knew it was animated.
I didn't know it was animated.
See, I had read the little paper that they gave us, kind of the synopsis and company
thing.
No clue. But I had forgotten it. Because
I had a blank disc that said Chosen One on it, and that was it. So I had no clue.
Wow, we could just give you anything on DVD and you'll watch
it? Wow, there you go.
Ignore
where it says Goat Say. Just ignore that. But no, The Chosen One, maybe I do need to watch it again, because I think maybe I was just completely just taken by surprise as to what all was happening in the movie as I was watching it.
Yeah.
Maybe I couldn't actually settle down and watch it at the time. But it's a damn fine story. It is a damn good story. I loved the story, and I can't wait to see more from Chris and the guys. It's Chris Lackey, Chad Pfeiffer making this thing, Chosen One. It's out on DVD August 26th. You at least have to rent it. I would say go ahead and get it.
Yeah,
but you got to at least rent it.
At least rent it.
Because it's good. Didn't it win a story? Win an award?
No, I don't think so. Not yet.
Being at some preliminary thing?
No.
It was their short film.
Yes.
The short film they did.
Mm-hmm.
Academy Award filmmakers.
Yeah.
Award-winning filmmakers.
Well, we're foreshadowing.
Yeah, we are.
They're not Academy Award
But they are award-winning
yet.
Filmmakers.
Yes.
They are award-winning filmmakers.
Okay. Hey, what's the target audience for this? You said frat boys shouldn't put this in.
No.
Who's the target audience for this?
It's geeks.
Any smart geek. Anyone reading a Mer Lafferty book should see The Chosen
One. Oh, yeah, of course.
Easy.
What about beginning theology and philosophy students?
I would think so.
You know, like high
school. Anybody in college.
High school and college level philosophy.
Well, our 17-year-old watched it with us, and he got a kick out of it. And he's very much into the, you know, figuring out the world around him and being cynical kind of about
religion. On that level,
religion.
That works for anybody.
Yeah.
On that level, that works for anyone at all, is to try to, what is the truth in the world, in your world, in everybody's world overall? Yeah. Anyone can relate to this
story. I would even think on some level that my parents might have enjoyed it, because it is kind of a redemption story in a lot of ways. And, you know, so it's not just young, geeky kind of people. I think that it would hit different audiences on different levels.
I think it could go for main general population, as long as it got past the fact that it is a little geeky at first.
Mm-hmm.
True.
If they can get past that one part, they can go and just enjoy the story for what it is, then I think this is a good general audience type of story.
So, you know, if you're open enough with your religion to actually, you know, be able to be forgiving and understanding of others, I think, yes, you could easily enjoy The Chosen One. If you're not, and I won't call out a denomination, but...
He didn't say it aloud.
Yeah, I didn't say it aloud, but I did mime that. And yeah, if you're one of those, and you probably know, you're not listening to the show right now anyway, if you are. The Chosen One, August 26th. We're definitely going to have it on the DVD poll, on the DVD list when it comes out.
Yes.
We'll have that listed.
Oh, yes, most
because, you, really, you should see it.
Is it going to have a wide release? Will it be in local
To the best
stores?
Of my knowledge, yes, indeed. I don't see any reason here where it says it shouldn't be. It may not be the, you know, the biggest thing that's coming out that week. I'd have to look ahead and see what's coming out on August 26th, which
you
I probably should
pre-order
have
now, too.
You can. Pre-order. Go to Amazon and all those good things. I would say don't read stuff about it because...
Come in, be surprised.
Be surprised, because you will be
it's
very
worth it.
Pleasantly
it's worth
surprised.
Surprise.
Yeah, and
surprise.
We didn't give away a lot. You know,
no.
We kind of just
no.
gave you a hint.
And the surprise, what it is, the, you know, the big reveal thing that we learn or whatever, it's not telegraphed a mile away. You will figure it
no.
out before it happens, but
yes.
not a lot before it happens.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. If you're paying real close
you're like,
attention.
What is that going to... Oh,
okay.
How about that?
No, I do also have a website. I guess in my email I see they have... let's see, where was it?
I don't know.
www.FeiferandLackey.com. So it's
yep.
FeiferandLackey.
And they do straight up have the Chosen One movie. That's thechosenonemovie.com where you can go pre-order now. And they talk all about, you know, the history of it, how it's all come to be, and when it's coming out.
We'll
and
put that up
Comic-Con.
In the shows, right?
Oh, we'll have it in the shows. Absolutely, we will. So good time all around, I think, for The Chosen One.
Yes.
Yep.
Highly recommend it.
So since we've got a little bit of time before we talk about trivia and announce the winner and stuff, since we didn't get to before, shall we go ahead and take the gloves off and
spoiler
talk
time,
some Dark
spoiler
Knight
time,
spoilers?
Spoiler time. Oh, I've been dying for spoilers.
So, yes. you know, go
we've
ahead.
Talked about it a lot on the forums, but we had to be very careful
yes,
in our
we did.
Weekly show because people were listening to it before they
went to
the movie.
Because people wanted to listen to it
before
they
before.
Saw the movie,
yeah.
And that was cool that we were able to keep it like that for you.
Now,
so,
mind you, this movie has now been out for, what, 8-9 days
okay.
now?
It's made $200 million in less yeah. time than Spider-Man 3. It made almost its entire budget back the opening weekend. So,
and if you haven't seen it by now,
$17 million the opening showing.
Yeah, the midnight showing, not the 3, 6, and all those. And
no,
the midnight showing
made $17 million.
We
so
helped with that.
Crazy.
Okay, if
we
you
did.
Have, if you are a geek and you have not seen this movie yet, turn in your geek card.
You better
for
be
one.
Like,
you better be in a coma or something and just woken up.
We're doing mission work in the third world.
Yeah. And if you really don't want to hear spoilers, advance for a couple of minutes.
Go for it. When you hear the theme at the end, just back up and you'll announce the trivia winner. Oh, you probably didn't win anyway. You forgot
to
send an entry. Gosh, come on. So, The Dark Knight.
Okay. Oh, frackin' A.
Oh, my God. Have you ever seen a better overall plan from a villain in an action movie?
No.
I want to go see it again. Let's go
I do
right
so
now.
I want to go see
Let's
it again
or something tomorrow.
The wife wants to see it.
I do want to see it again. The Joker, by now you might know, the Joker decides that apparently he's been pulling off bank heists and stuff all over the place.
Little,
and his bank
stuff.
Heist was fantastic.
Oh,
you
yeah,
saw the bank heist.
Oh.
Yeah.
You've all seen the bank heist, whether you've seen the movie or not, you've seen that. The Joker, of course, wants to go. He goes to all the big criminal guys that are left and is like, hey, a year ago nobody would have touched you. And now the Batman. And we get to see the magic trick.
Here's my card.
We get
oh,
to see
the
magic trick.
Can we
he's
tell
like,
what the magic
disappearing
trick is
pencil.
Now?
Sure,
spoilers.
The gloves are off.
Spoilers. Okay. Mr. I'm going to kick the Joker's ass is gets up and goes, I have a magic trick. You want to see a magic trick? Puts a pencil on the eraser, face pointing straight up, and the guy comes around and grabs him by the arm and goes, slam!
And smacks his
face
head.
Face goes down onto pencil. Face comes up. Pencil's not there.
Disappearing.
Ta-da!
Pencil
ta-da!
Right away. Oh, my God. This is the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
You knew what you were in for.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is the Joker. And not just, I know everyone, like, they throw back. We look at Tim Burton's film. We look at Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson was
Jack
a good
Nicholson's
Joker.
Jack Nicholson's Joker was a good Joker. A lot of times he was Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
A lot of times he was. And this is just the Joker.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not a Joker movie. But it is, even when he's not on screen,
mm-hmm.
the Joker is affecting everything that's happening, and he's not even there.
He's
oh,
scaring
yeah.
people. He's making people look into themselves as far as their morality. He is... blowing up hospitals. Can we go to that level now?
Okay,
yes.
The scariest thing that I saw from the Joker
uh-huh.
was the Nurse Betty outfit.
The Nurse Betty outfit was a little...
scared the hell. I was like, oh!
Nightmare.
Got to figure out this in because we got to go back and see it. I also got to work in the X-Files. The X-Files
yes.
opened this weekend. I love the fracking X-Files. The X-Files is phenomenal.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Got to work that in. So, yeah, so the Joker working on this. You got the new DA. You've got Harvey Dent there in town. The mob's trying to kill him.
And it even starts off with the Scarecrow from the first
yes!
movie.
Yes! We wrapped
movie.
That
wrapped
up, which
up.
I
Caught
thought
him.
Was kind of
yeah.
neat. That was kind of cool. So we borrow heavily from year one in the aspect that Gordon and Batman are working together.
Uh-huh.
The new DA wants in on the action.
Yeah.
They don't know if they can trust the DA. The DA doesn't know that they can trust them because there's rats somewhere in the police department.
Yes.
Stuff is being found out. They do form a sort of uneasy alliance and start working together, and that's when the Joker just gets crazier and crazier, mm-hmm. and the choices he demands of everyone in the city
yes.
are interesting. He is killing people, saying that he's going to keep doing this until Batman reveals himself.
Yes.
Right away.
Yeah.
Right away, the stakes are high. Here's Bruce Wayne trying to do the best. He realizes now, okay, well, we've worked so hard taking out this one type of criminal element.
Yeah.
When he made that distinction in there, he's like, well, we could go after the Joker now before he becomes this big threat. We could go after one guy, or we could shut down mob families. And you would think mob families would be the right call.
That's the choice he makes. Yeah. And, you know, you think, well, the greater good.
There's
but
always choices to be made. And the Joker makes Batman make numerous choices.
He does. He makes him make all kinds of choices.
Everybody makes choices. Right. And that's the worst type of horror there is.
When the Joker has, you know, it's spoilers, it's time. When the Joker has Rachel and Harvey Dent both at separate locations and mm-hmm. Batman only had enough time to get there once.
To one of them.
Choices.
Mm-hmm.
All along.
Who are you going to save? Who are you going to save the woman that you loved, or are you going to save the savior to the city?
Not even past tense.
Not even past tense. And that's the fun thing, because Batman is so obsessed with keeping Harvey Dent, letting him be the hero that Gotham needs. Because Batman is the hero that Gotham
deserves.
Yes.
But, or is it the backwards? Whatever it is, Harvey Dent is the White Knight.
Yeah.
And Batman is the Dark Knight.
Yes.
And I thought that was a wonderful, wonderful counterpoint.
I love how they did that too. Yeah.
That was outstanding, which makes the tragic fall of Harvey Dent all the more tragic.
And what you're going to end up seeing, I'm sure, in the next movie is the tragic fall of Batman, because he almost vilifies himself at the end. He martyrs himself.
Not a choice that I think Batman in the comics would do, but Batman for this movie universe. That made total sense.
He martyrs himself, his own image of everybody thinks Batman's the good guy or they're not sure of him. They're going to make him, he's going to sacrifice his own image to become a bad guy in people's view just to make sure.
That's what the city
for the
needs
greater good.
So they can hold on to their hope.
Harvey didn't look good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That, just fascinating. All the things that people have to do along the way, getting the two groups of people on the boats out in the water.
Yeah.
And okay, if one of you kills the other one, you get to live.
You got till midnight.
There are people that have said that scene goes on too long. Maybe it does a little bit, but
that was tense. I was in
incredibly
every second of that.
Tense. Every that time we're there,
never knew what those people were going
away.
To do.
That could have been its own movie.
It really
I've
could
seen
have.
Movies like that.
Right.
We've searched it out for a long
and those
time.
Those kinds of things, yeah.
And we just threw that in there, and there it was. And the whole time of literally the Joker trying to get Batman to kill him, he wants to break Batman. It's not enough to kill Batman.
He has to destroy him.
He wants to destroy the symbol that he is.
Yes.
And he directly tells him that you are responsible. I
wouldn't be this bad unless it was
unless
you.
Unless it was for you.
What does Harvey Dent say? You either
live long enough to become the villain or die the hero. You either die the hero or live long enough to become the villain. That's what that is.
And I think the Joker would really like the Batman to become a villain.
Oh, he so would.
Yeah.
That would be his greatest dream.
To drive him down to his depths.
All those wonderful moments in the animated series where Mark Hamill is just gleeful over how just demented he's being towards Batman.
Yeah.
Heath Ledger just... Oh my God! Right.
He wrapped those up so beautifully.
And would the Joker even exist on the level that he's on if the Batman hadn't stepped up the game of crime fighting?
Probably
and that
not.
Messes
Probably
with his not. Head, you know.
Yeah, that really.
The Joker before was just he was the crook, he was the grand thief, you know, he was the mastermind, but he never got into the depths and the levels that he too.
Why bother when it's only the cops that are after you?
The biggest mistake they ever made was. In Tim Burton's Batman was showing who the Joker was before. And that takes something away.
They try to make it so the whole I created you, you created me, you know, dropped him into the acid so Jack Napier could become the Joker,
which they stole from The Man with the Red Hood, which was used in the Killing Joke, and I see why they did that, but that was one possible idea of how the Joker became who he did.
Well, I like how in The Dark Knight he tells multiple different versions
of how
he gets the scars.
You have
and
no
each
idea.
One was scarier and creepier, and then the last one.
And there's no telling if any of those are true at all,
no.
or if there's
Probably
true elements in all of them.
Right.
And
Probably
they're
none of them
never,
are true.
Never, anyway,
but who doesn't matter.
It doesn't
matter.
Actually,
it actually increases his own his own mystique.
It makes him scarier.
Makes him scarier.
One, you know, that's why these stuff like these prequels, Hannibal Rising and stuff, it's why they don't work. When you explain the monster, you take away the monster's power.
Right. When Freddy Krueger, when you could see Freddy Krueger's face in Nightmare on Elm Street 2, he became a little less scary.
When you saw him hosting MTV and doing videos, Freddy Krueger was really not. So I think, still, we love The Dark Knight. In fact, I think I gave it a 9 pants. I might have to give it 9.5. I cannot give it 10. There are some things wrong with this movie that don't quite work. It's not because it's grim. It needs to be grim because a Batman story with the Joker needs to be grim.
It has to be dark.
It's got to be.
It's got to be.
It's got to be. If you've been reading the comics since the 80s, you know this. It has to be.
Yeah.
We've waited so long.
I gave it 9 pants. I'm almost willing to bump it up to 9.5. It's just... you know,
I'm
going to
go see it again. I'm going to go see it again.
I actually wasn't disappointed. I had very high expectations, and I was not disappointed.
I did, and I tried to keep them like rain. Again, magic trick. From the time we get to the magic trick, the Joker just kept outdoing himself.
Yes.
You never thought that he was going to keep going for it, and he just kept going for it.
All right.
And as much as, you know, intellectually trying to figure out what's going to happen next in the movie or where it's going to go,
yep.
the Joker was always two steps ahead.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, so please, if you haven't seen it, go see it. And if you just listen to all these spoilers, you haven't heard all of them anyway.
Yeah.
Because we still didn't tell you some of the deaths that occur. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
You'll rue the day you crushed me, Trebek.
Why, it's... Trivia! It's Geek Trivia! GRD Weekly Trivia?
Yes.
What do you want to call it?
GRD
Weekly
Trivia.
There it is. Of course, we played for you just a couple of episodes on the 80s action show. We played for you a small little clip, a little name that tune, if you will, from an 80s action show. And the winner of that, which we will announce in just a moment, gets a DVD copy of the board game
Name That Tune,
the 80s edition from Imagination Entertainment. So, the clip, if you heard it on the show, went a little something like this. Yeah! Da-da-da-da-da!
You want to play a little bit more of a clip?
Da-da-da-da-da! I just love that. Don't you want to... All you really got to hear is that.
Okay.
We got quite a few people called in with entries, as you did hear in the mail we read earlier. Some people did not know what that was. And, poor them. Which is fine.
But we did have some winners, didn't we?
We had quite
a few entries,
so we are going to have to do a random drawing. So we need to get the papers, I suppose... Listeners, if you would like to pick from all of our entries, that'll be the one. Okay,
perfect.
Score. So the winner, the person that knew this show. Oh, wait. Because I'm watching the opening credits.
No, he's watching the credits. With Cursor.
Hold up. Starring Desi Arnaz Jr. Oh, 90-degree turn. Oh, that's crazy. Yep, starring Desi Arnaz Jr. Starring Chuck Wagner.
What?
Cursor, of course, is in here. Oh, and here's the here's our hottie. This is, of course, the 1983 to 1984 very, very, very small amount of episodes, Automan.
Yep.
The Tron ripoff.
Yay.
Yes, it was.
Automan, in which a video game character gets to come to life and come out and hunt crime. Now, of course, it takes a lot of power and energy.
And so he can only do it at night.
And he can't really, you know, and he can't be that long.
Mm-hmm.
He had a bad knockoff of a Tron suit that he wore, and he did have a little cursor that would float around. And
create, like, helicopters and cars.
Wow.
And he did drive his car from the game, which turned at 90-degree angles because he was a video game character, and his car on the game turned 90 degrees.
Mm-hmm. Blip!
So it would, which would throw Desi Arnaz Jr. against the window. Ha ha! It's funny, you see. It was a bad show.
So who was the winner?
Who's the winner?
It was a bad, bad show.
We got that.
Yeah. Okay. I believe this week's winner. Right here. This week's winner wrote to us to say that clip was from Automan from 1983 to 84. Listening to you while I was cutting the grass, and I knew it right away.
Yay!
That's from
Frank. Didn't have to Google for an hour.
That's Frank Van Dellen of Wallaceburg, Ontario, Canada. Congratulations to you.
Oh, he's a Canadian?
He is.
Damn.
He's the winner, A?
funny, Bald Dog, one of the people that got it right, said, I hope I'm not too late. Just listening to your podcast, and you could have gagged me with a spoon when you failed to mention Automan. I was relieved when I realized you did not mention it on purpose because it's the theme song. It's the answer to the name that 80s, name the tune, 80s edition, Totally Tubular. So he knew it. Elf knew it. Chris from the Jesus Geeks knew that. Dave from Screen Geeks knew it as well. And he's like, oh, dude, star Desi Arnaz Jr. I loved the show as a kid. I loved it so much I bought a bootleg at Starfest a couple of years ago. Apparently, I was a complete idiot of a child. Tron has a bad story, but Automan makes it look like a freaking masterpiece. Automan is just a piece. The effects are cool, but it has definitely not aged well. There was a time when a synth intro song should work, and it sounds worse than Sonic Youth. Yep, I went there. I'll Do Anything for You by Sonic Youth is fantastic, so you back off, okay? Other than that, I can sort of agree with you there. Sherry also had it right, and I thought this was fantastic. The answer to Name Your Tune is Automan. Please let me win. I had to search for 10 minutes for the answer to that question, which for me is a long time with a short attention span. But I do search for odd things for a living, as I'm a librarian, oddly enough. I always feel slightly dirty when I say that. Librarians always enjoy the show, and keep up the great... Oh, a bunny! Love and rocket launcher, Sherry.
She does have a short attention span.
She does. It took her 10 minutes on Google. I don't know how. There's some people we saw it took an hour. Maybe they don't know how to Google.
She's a librarian. She has excellent searching skills.
That's true. That's got to be it. So congratulations to Frank. We'll be contacting you to tell you to see how to get this to you. Well, you're from Canada. We are so Region 1, so it's fine. So the DVD is going to work just fine. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to play this with all your friends, and you keep cutting the grass, and you keep listening to us here. We'll do another trivia, couple of weeks. We'll surprise you. That's why you got to keep listening to the show. Otherwise, you're never, ever going to know when it's going to happen.
You're out of luck.
Oh, my goodness.
We're not going to tell you beforehand.
I thought it was really funny that in the forums over at geekradiodaily.com, some people started talking about Automan.
Mm-hmm.
And no one ever put in the forums, oh, you know, that might have been the thing. Very funny. I like that. Because Automan, should be forgotten. That's a look at this week's GRD Weekly episode number 20. We've been looking at The Chosen One. Talked about The Dark Knight with a bit of spoilers. July 26, 2008. GRD Weekly is a production of Real Media Radio Network. Subscribe to iTunes. And please, please do review us while you're there. Join the forums over at geekradiodaily.com. We would appreciate it. Make sure you check out GRD, Geek Radio Daily, the 15-minute daily show. It's fantastic. Geek Radio Daily license under Creative Commons Attributions, non-commercial, no derivative works, 3.0 United States license. Check out the store at cafepress.com/geekradiodaily and feel free to email us at podcast, Billy Flynn, Vicar, or The Bruce at geekradiodaily.com.
Funny. I detect no source of amusement.
Let's just say that the curtain has come down on yet another miserable performance.
I thought it was piss wrapped in poo.
Well, surely your partner didn't believe any of it.
What's going on here?
It's beyond my comprehension.
You're putting me on.
Oh, tell me you're not serious. Mulder, you're nuts.
Everybody has a different version of what truly happened. Truth is as subjective as reality.